online. Remember, you can find us online at usaradio.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. 866-490-3991. 866-490-3991. That's 866-490-3991.
There are reports the U.S. intelligence community does not really believe North Korea wants to get rid of its nuclear weapons. NBC News is reporting a CIA analysis says that a more realistic concession is that the North will say it wants to scale back its nuclear program or undo some of its recent gains. The report also says the North wants to make some sort of peaceful gesture towards the U.S., and they're predicting it might offer to open a Western hamburger franchise in the North Korean capital city. Officials from the U.S. and North Korea are working to revive the summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un that's been set for the 12th of June. Harvey Weinstein's defense lawyer is calling charges against the disgraced movie mogul absurd. Ben Brofman saying the two criminal cases against his client will not stand up in court and that Weinstein and one of his accusers did have a relationship for years. At a court hearing yesterday, Brofman complained to a judge about pretrial publicity. Weinstein remains out on bail as a grand jury continues its work. It's expected to hand up an indictment against him soon. And NFL star J.J. Watt is now Dr. Watt. The Houston Texans defensive end was awarded an honorary doctorate yesterday at the commencement ceremony for the Baylor College of Medicine. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to show Happy to Help. It's a show where we talk about the advantages of volunteerism and helping you live a long, healthy, happy life. We have different guests from nonprofits and foundations and volunteers themselves, and we have a very special guest today, so we'll talk to her right after these messages.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning again. This is Nicole Smith, and I am the host of Happy to Help. And today, I'm very excited to welcome Dora Mullen, the founder of the Suppers Programs. Hey. Welcome.
Thank you. It's fun to be here.
Well, let's start out with a little background about yourself and how you started the Suppers Programs, when you started it, and why you started it.
Ooh, okay. Well, let's start with why. I have had a very long history of chronic illness. And I would say 20, 30, 40 years ago, I was much sicker than I am. In my mid-60s, I'm actually doing pretty well. But the problems that I had were things that were avoidable if I had only had the right information. So I was probably in the practices of 10 or 12 different kinds of practitioners, and we could never figure out what was wrong with me. But one thing that I figured out for myself was that if I ate pristinely and I exercised really hard, I could be okay. Then when I was in my early 50s, we discovered that the problem all along had been that I'd had mercury poisoning and that that had gone, that had gone untreated for 30 years. And there were all kinds of health complications in every system, including mental health problems and addictions problems, which is typical when you have a problem with heavy metals.
Wow.
So once I got myself sorted out, I said, I have to do something about this because there are not medications that can fix this. There isn't any procedure or surgery. I mean, there's you have to change the way you live in order to deal with these issues and do the detox and so forth, and really clean up your diet. So basically what I created with the Suppers programs was the kind of social support and nutritional support that I needed 30, 40 years ago that was not available. And I decided to turn it into a recovery-style support group, a network of support groups, instead of like becoming a dietitian or some kind of a nutrition counselor, because the needs are so much greater than just knowing how to eat.
Yeah, and that's an incredible story. And what I've found from knowing you and looking at your website, the part that I like so much about it is that it builds community.
Oh, absolutely. And I would put that very near the top of the list of the therapeutic value that's very difficult for a medical system or any healthcare system to deliver. I have to be so careful about how I talk about this, but we made a big mistake as a culture when we sent women into the workforce without creating any kind of an adequate substitute for all of the, I call them relationship services that mothers and grandmas have been providing throughout the centuries. And it became a big problem when nobody felt responsible for the family nutrition, for the regular meals getting out on the table, for sourcing the food properly, and also to deal with what has now, just in recent years, become very obviously an addictive relationship with so many of these processed foods that, left to their own designs, children and adults will select the foods that light up the pleasure centers in their brains rather than going for the things that may not be as snazzy, and may not fire them up so much, but are actually what's needed for the building blocks of good health and good mental health.
Yeah, and I think part of it was the time, right? Didn't they invent Jell-O because they wanted people to use their refrigerators because they were trying to sell refrigerators?
I'm sure that there are some underlying bottom line drivers into the problems that we have today. But more and more, even in the mainstream press, you don't have to go to the nutrition literature. You can go to the New York Times or Time Magazine or something and read plenty about the purposeful advance into more and more addictive foods from people who were just trying to make money. I mean, they were just, food companies just trying to make a living.
Yeah, but, I think there's a book, The Case Against Sugar, or something like that. I mean,
there are now a lot of them.
There's a lot of them, yeah, totally. And, well, because my mother stayed home when I was young, but she didn't like to cook. And so I grew up on SpaghettiOs and Hamburger Helper and all that stuff that was flooding the market just because she didn't like to cook. But my sister and I loved to cook, but it took us to leave home to figure out that we could do something different. So a part of it is just, part of it's society, part of it's what you know, it's what your family, and now being in New Jersey and all these Italian mothers and grandmothers and fathers and, and living in the Garden State is such a blessing, mm-hmm. right? We just need to take advantage of that. We have no excuse here in New Jersey.
Oh, no, we've got organic farmers all over the place in New Jersey.
I know. So tell me about, you started the Suppers program. It was a personal issue that drove you to start this. So, and then now you have apprentices or sous chefs.
We have facilitators.
Okay, that's right.
So it started out with me running the first program, Suppers for Sobriety, 13 years ago.
Wow.
And I selected to work with recovering alcoholics because I knew these people know how to work a program. And I thought that the problems with the food supply are so similar to the problems facing alcoholics in recovery, that would be a good place to start. But I knew that the next step was into diabetes, because the needs of a recovering alcoholic and the needs of a type 2 diabetic are extremely similar in terms of the lifestyle changes that have to happen in order to turn the problem around. So I started with Suppers for Sobriety, and then I started working with people with diabetes, and then it just worked into more and more diagnostic categories. And ultimately what we found from working with people is that it isn't the diagnosis that's the most important thing. People do tend to identify with their labels, but from the point of view of how you fix the problem, it all comes back to diet and lifestyle. The chronic illnesses are not things that are going to get fixed with pharmaceuticals. They may get managed with pharmaceuticals, but insulin or the oral medications for type 2 diabetes, for example, are not going to cure the diabetes. They're just going to make it possible to live with the disease. And it's very well demonstrated in the literature now that if you get, let's just stick with the example of the diabetic, if you get to them early enough in the disease process, they still have enough beta cell activity in their pancreas that it is possible for them to reduce the medications and even lose the diagnosis, which doesn't mean that they go back to eating all of the junk food that brought them in to diabetes. They really have to make a change. The reason that this is a recovery-style program is because almost everybody who's eaten their way into these chronic illnesses has some sense that what they're eating and how they're living is causing the problem or driving the problem. And they can't just say, oh, wow, I'm supposed to stop eating sweets and starches. Gee, is that all I need to do? Boom, I'm going to turn it around and not be diabetic anymore. That isn't how it works. Mm-hmm. They have attached relationships with their favorite foods. Mm-hmm. That's why we have to look at everybody with a loving, gentle, patient, ongoing relationship with them that supports them while they're developing the palate for the healthier food, mm-hmm. while we're teaching them how to prepare the healthier food, while we're helping them make the social connections with the people that are going to become maybe walking or yoga partners, or just support them in between meetings, because it takes a lot of support to change these entrenched habits.
Absolutely, and change is hard for most people. Any kind of change is hard, so they have to be hitting this point where they're ready to make a change and make a commitment. And it is a learning curve, right? Because you've got to figure out how to cook. Some people really are scared to cook or don't know how to cook or shop and things like that. So you have a whole community hand-holding, instructive program in place. It sounds amazing.
Yeah. All of the meetings involve cooking first.
Okay. And then how do you collect your, facilitators? How do you?
So the majority of facilitators are people who have worked their way up through the program and want to give something back. Mm-hmm. Quite a few of the facilitators are also people who just love to cook and they're passionate about a specific population, and so they want to serve in the area where they have suffered and turned it around. So, for example, the people with type 2 diabetes want to serve people who have blood sugar issues. And the people who are successful in recovery from alcoholism, they want to run Suppers for Sobriety. We have meetings that are sort of more general, like people who do really well on a vegan diet but don't really know how to cook vegetables. So, so we have to find the people who are passionate about serving in that way and then train them to facilitate. And I'd say 13 years into this, it's I can say without qualification, it is much easier to learn this program than it is to become comfortable in the kitchen. I am just shocked at how much we have lost, because we've lost a generation or two, really, of people who... It's not just about knowing how to cook. It's that they're comfortable in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And you're creating that comfort zone, which is amazing. And who sources your product? Because you have a few raised beds in your yard. Is that on the website? Is that your yard? So tell us about how you've got that going.
I've got a big, beautiful garden. Prior to doing Suppers, I ran garden-based education programs in the Princeton Public School District. And I did that for 13 years also. So it's been a lucky 13.
There you go.
And so I was already of a mindset that it all starts with properly sourced food. So for instructional purposes and in the season, I have a very large garden, considering that it's downtown Princeton, from which we eat and where we do workshops. But the majority of the food in season is sourced either from our local health food store or the local farmers. I'll go around. And then obviously when it's not in season, I just have to go to a grocery store.
Right, but isn't that part of your whole teaching and curriculum is to eat with the seasons, correct?
Yeah, there's a large component of that. Of course, in central New Jersey, there are a lot of seasons, you know, there's a lot of months when there isn't anything right. local unless you've been pickling or something.
Yeah.
But yes, very much so, and that's both for the integrity of the food sourcing and because some of these foods are demonstrably more nutrient dense. So,
yeah, that makes sense because you know, and I love eating with the season, and I'm looking forward to garlic scapes. Have you had any yet, or are we still waiting?
I've had one garlic scape emerge in my row of garlic so far, but we should be eating those in June.
Yeah, one of my favorite food preparers, she actually has a place here in Flemington, or Ringo's, is Jane's Kitchen, and she does all organic, and she made garlic scape hummus a couple years ago, mm-hmm. which was really yummy. Mm-hmm. So there are people out there, whether you want to shop for organic, good food, like the Whole Earth, is that the place?
Earth Center.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. The place. And then we've got Dean's. There's several Dean's locations around. And but it's not even that hard to grow once you kind of throw some dirt down and experiment with it, right? So
I would say you can grow something anywhere. One of the things that I do with people who don't have space is we grow food right in straw bales. You can put it on a loading dock or in a parking lot. You just season your straw bale and start planting your greens and your tomatoes right in the straw bale.
I've never heard of that. That's amazing.
It's fun.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back with Dore.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we're back. This is Happy to Help, and today we're talking to Dore Mullen. She is the founder of the Suppers Programs, and we've been talking about gardening and cooking and recovery and diabetes, all kinds of very pertinent issues for today. And I always like to bring in the kids, and because good habits start early. So since you said you worked with the school district for many years, can you tell people who say, well, you know, I try and eat healthy, but my kids only want mac and cheese or hamburgers, or what would you say to those folks?
Oh, brother, the problem is not the children. The problem isn't the children, and I know from being out in that garden with them for 13 years that if you can go through the power of positive peer pressure, if I can find, it's often a European kid or a South American kid or you know, a cute guy, one of the popular boys, if I can get somebody to just start ripping out the parsley and the sorrel and the lettuces and just start eating it as part of an activity in the garden, I can usually, through the power of positive peer pressure, get the children on board. We made a whole program with recipes as well as garden activities. So in order for a recipe to go home to the parents, at least 2/3 of the class had to vote in favor of it, which meant if you wanted to participate, you at least had to taste it. Mm-hmm. We would have activities like, which is the sweetest part of the broccoli? The stem, the leaf, or the floret? Well, in order to participate in the activity, they had to actually taste each part, and they were allowed to spit it out, but they had to have the experience of tasting. So really, it was quite devious.
I love it.
But it worked to give the kids the exposure, and of course then once they see each other doing it and voting in favor of the chicken soup with carrots and brown rice, or you know, whatever it was, it became a thing, you know, it just became part of the school culture. And I would have mothers stopping me in the grocery store saying, my child is eating vegetables. I remember one year at the school picnic, I said, if I'm in charge of this picnic, we are not having Snapple and soda. And there was a big hue and cry about it, and it was not from the children. It was from the parents. Now, that was probably 15 years ago, and there has been a bit of a sea change, a change in the cultural assumptions, I think, as more and more parents realize that their learning issues and their behavioral issues with their children are very much related to what they're eating. There's greater acceptance of going in this healthier direction, but it's not just about health. It's about educability and performance.
Mm-hmm. What would you say if people are saying, well, you know, I'm busy, I'm working full time, I've got the kids, they're in school, they're in camp, and I just don't know where to start? Where would you start?
Well, I have taken sort of a tough love attitude towards this. I have to be compassionate because people won't change if they feel judged. But I have to stand up for the value system that says, how much time does it take to have a child who has ADD and ADHD? How expensive is it to need coaching for a child who can't sit still and learn? If I can match it up in the minds of parents that these problems that they're dealing with relate to how agitating the processed foods are, time looks different. I mean, before we had cell phones and all of these devices and everything, we would have never thought we could find 2 or 3 hours in a day for whatever social
media.
It's like, you know, you have a lot more control over this than all that. And then, okay, so that sort of the attitude inside me is one of tough love. But to actually deal with people, I just start wherever people are motivated. In the program, we get, now this is the one for adults, we get people who are not willing to do anything but come to one meeting a week and start trying those healthier foods. Mm-hmm. And if that's the level of the stage of change at which they're willing to enter, that's where I have to deal with them. Then if they keep on coming back, they'll absorb more program. And I would say, as to where I would begin with children, it's about palate development. If the foods are strange to them, or they seem so alien and unfamiliar, if they're just off of a shelf in a grocery store, they're totally disconnected from them. So I would say the most important thing is to just get them to start tasting things, demystify real food for them.
Mm-hmm.
If all they'll eat is raspberries and carrots, okay. Raspberries and carrots are on the menu, and even more important than what is on the menu is what's not
on the menu. Mm-hmm. If you have cookies in the house and you hide them on the top shelf, you will create climbers.
That's exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just what we get, because it is these foods now are demonstrably similar to cocaine and morphine. I mean, they literally have these properties in them. So,
yep. No, it's a drug. Food is a drug for sure. It can be. Yeah. So I am. Well, the other thing I want to ask you about is, I always say people make time for what they want to make time for. So you can't, if you say I don't have time, you just are choosing different priorities to spend your time on. So, which is fine. So, and the other thing that I always talk about on the show is making time for volunteerism, because I believe it will change your mind, change your life, make you healthier, happier, live longer, and helping others is in our DNA. So, the Suppers Programs is a nonprofit, and nonprofits, you've got volunteers, you've got helpers, you're doing a good thing, but you probably still need some funding. So you said the dinners are donated by the people bring their own food, or can you tell us how that works?
People contribute enough to cover the groceries. We don't want people to not be able to participate for lack of ability to pay. Mm-hmm. So mostly organic, delicious, 3, 4, 5 item meal is probably $10 or $15, which means the organization has to raise a lot, because we still have staff to pay. We have to maintain a website to do all of the registration and so forth. So we ask people to give according to their means and their the benefits that they're receiving from the program.
Yeah, and do you, the Taste of Suppers, that you, I think you have that every year, is that your annual event?
Yes, that's an annual event at the Princeton Public Library.
And is that a fundraiser for you?
Or? That one is not. You can't raise money at the Princeton Public Library.
Yeah, I think I knew that. Okay.
But it's very important for community building. Let me describe why. People are scared of what they don't know. There's a reluctance to try something new. They particularly don't want to go into the private home of a stranger in order to deal with their whatever, celiac disease or rheumatoid arthritis. It's a very strange concept until you're in the fold. So public events at the Whole Earth Center, workshops, the Senior Resource Center in Princeton, the Princeton Public Library, when we do events in these locations, it removes one of the barriers for people who need the help but aren't sure that they want to engage in this volunteer program where it involves going to a stranger's home. So in the case of A Taste of Suppers, we've got 25 or 30 volunteers who cook the signature foods from the program. We have a speaker, and then people go around, and there's a table for the people who only will eat the vegan food, and there's a low-carb table for the recently diagnosed 2 diabetics, and, you know, there's the macrobiotic people bring their food. Yeah, it's a lovely event, and it's a nice entree into the culture and the community of Suppers.
Right, so they can come kick the tires a little bit and kind of be incognito and check it out, which is great. Mm-hmm. What are your what's your annual fundraising event, or is it more ongoing, or do you have
lots of little things? Okay. We have Founders Day. Terramomo Restaurant Group gives us the venue for the day.
Wow.
And so that's, we have some fabulous, fabulous supportive collaborators and partners in the community. We've got sort of the standard annual appeal where we ask people in November to remember us before the end of the year. There's a little bit of ongoing support. Our most engaged partner is with the Northeast Organic Farming Association of New Jersey, and our largest event of the year is called Sourcing Health Locally, where we create a doctor's giving equal time at the podium for physicians and farmers, because in our minds, there just is no healthcare system independent of a food system. You know, in California, we don't have to lobby for this assumption. Like, there are good people out there in Northern California who get it. The healthcare system and the food system have to work together. Here, it's a little bit of a harder sell. Mm-hmm. So that's what we stand up for, getting the healthcare practitioners and the people who grow the food in the same place. It's from, like, the business model way of looking at it. Our program are the eaters, so we're the demand side of what the Northeast Organic Farming Association of New Jersey is the supply side for. So it's really good for these organic farmers to get to know the community of people who buy organic food and who need organic food in order to be well.
Yeah, there's plenty of that around here. Do you know Dr. Furman? What do you think of his work and the Eat to Live book? I love that book.
So Eat to Live is in a very specific niche because it eliminates salt and all of the processed foods and no added oils. Okay. Suppers is unique in that we don't tell people what the healthy way of eating is. Our sort of founding principle is to honor biological individuality. So we do have people in the program who follow Dr. Furman and do very well on it. By no means is it the majority. Most of the people are still eating some kind of animal flesh, and they're using still like coconut oil and high-quality olive oil and so forth. So we do book reports on everybody. So Dr. Furman is in there, and so is macrobiotic, and then so is paleo and ketogenic and all of these other styles of eating. And I think what's unique about our program is that we never tell people which is the healthy way to eat except to remove the processed foods. Yeah. And of everything that remains, you do personal experiments, and we set you up with experiments. And every time you come to a suppers meeting, you're going to be reminded, what experiment can you do? Like if you suspect, for example, that your anxiety might relate to the fact that you have a very dependent relationship with coffee, we'll give you experiments to try to see if removing coffee from your diet will reduce your panic disorder. Same thing with how to manage your blood sugar. We'll give you experiments.
Nice. Well, so you can wean yourself off and what to look for and what to pay attention to. And yeah, I've done a couple of food-based cleanse, which is, have helped me. And then one of the things that she puts in her email when we're doing the, she's like, just chew your food, because we're so used to inhaling things. So chewing is so important, right? Just slowing down and enjoying your food. And
right. Well, if you think of the surface space of the foods that you're eating, the gastric juices and, you know, all of your digestive juices are just not going to reach even the beautifully sourced, pristinely, perfectly organic food is not going to be reached by your digestion if you don't chew it. It's just going to come out looking like corn or blueberries or, you know, whatever you poop out when you have not properly chewed your food.
I know. Well, I mean, it's just such a basic thing. If you do nothing else, if you chew your food consciously and slowly and, you know, that, I mean, if someone wants something easy they can do and try, like, at their next meal with that. Like,
yeah, there's something else that goes with that, too. It's you're bringing up the concept of mindfulness and how important is it to eat when not stressed. So all of the meetings at my house begin with a meditation where you go inside, you note how you feel, if there's any place that's tight or tense, breathe into it and let it go, prepare yourself for digestion, notice if your hunger or anticipation has a size, a shape, where is it located in your body. That, like the chewing, brings your chemistry down a notch into the rest and digest mode and gets you out of that sort of adrenal stress hormone driven state that drives you to swallow whole chunks of food without chewing.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Like for me though, I try and eat before I go to parties because I get so excited talking to people and I never shut up. And so I'm like freaking out crazy. So I just eat before and then I'm good because I just am there for the people. But I love recipes. Your website has so much. So how do you get new recipes on the website? Do you make those all the time or?
Okay.
Some days I read something about beets.
So
I love beets.
Beets? Oh, yeah, we probably have a lot of beet recipes. So anybody who follows the supper's guidelines about no gluten, no sugar, no processed foods, no cheap oils can contribute recipes to the website. But they have to have been made at meetings. They have to be something that we can demonstrate actually works, because we don't want these contrived recipes up there that somebody just made up in their imagination and then put on a website, which does happen.
Of course, yeah.
So they're all tried and true. I think we've got about 625 recipes
wow.
now. The website is searchable so that if you just want the vegan stuff, you just get the vegan
wow.
stuff, or you can just put in your ingredients in the search bar. Like if you have sesame oil, chicken, and sun-dried tomatoes and you put it into the search bar, if there's a recipe that has those ingredients, it will pop up. But the real reason that we have so many is because I hate recipes. I never cook by recipes. So what happens at my meetings, and I run maybe 4 to 7 events per week.
Wow.
People just have to follow me around with a pencil and a piece of paper, because I go to the Whole Earth Center, the local farm market, and I see, oh, what's good today? Well, gee, if it's beets today instead of the whatever, sweet potatoes or yams that were on the menu, obviously we're going to make what's ever fresh and beautiful. So, and I cook by taste. I teach people how to cook by taste. You know, you need a basic recipe, that's fine. But if you can't flavor balance at the end of a salad dressing, or you made this lentil soup according to the directions, but it tastes flat and you don't know how to fix it, that's empowering, to have people take something that's okay, it's edible, but you have to turn it into delicious. Mm-hmm. If you don't turn it into delicious, people who are already feeling deprived because you're removing their favorite processed foods from their diet, they really rely on making the delicious food and the healthy food all the same food.
Right, but it also takes a level of confidence. So, I mean, I started cooking when I was, younger, but I was a recipe, I followed the recipe mm-hmm. to a T every time until for a good 10 or 15 years before I developed the confidence mm-hmm. to be like, oh, well, this, I can substitute this for that, and I've got this in the pantry. And so now, I'm the master of, making 3 or 4 meals out of one thing and seeing whatever's at the market or what's available to throw it in the pot. But
right.
It
and
took
if
a while.
You'd grown up with a mother who loved to cook,
yeah.
you wouldn't have had to go in the side door. It's like the difference between growing up speaking Japanese or going to school at age 16 and starting to learn.
Yeah.
You can't acquire the language, or you can't acquire the cooking skill the way nature would have planned it mm-hmm. for you. And so a lot of it is sort of an artificial learning, because it's not passed down from mom. And you learn how to do it long before you get confident in the kitchen.
Yeah, definitely. And my mother was very supportive, and other, but she just didn't like to cook. And then her mother, they were just very frugal. So you had, stew on Monday and pot roast on Tuesday and spaghetti on, like every week, the same thing every week. And that drives me nuts. I'm too bored by that. I'm like, we got to try this and I want to try this. And it just depends. You just work with what you have. And then it's another opportunity to grow though, grow in learning.
And it's exciting. If you're a creative person, a recipe is a real straitjacket.
Yeah, but I had to build confidence first. So,
but
I worked at it. I loved it. I mean,
you've got to get the confidence in the kitchen is more important than knowing how to cook.
Yeah, and I remember one guy early on said, how long do you think it takes to steam broccoli for it to be done? And I literally said, 20 minutes. And he's like, no, 3? Or, I mean, it depends on how al dente you want it, but that's how clueless I was. I'm like, boil it to death, So,
right.
And then you're boiling all the nutrients out, right?
Right.
So just little tiny facts like that you don't know unless you kind of just engage and have someone knowledgeable and helpful like yourself to kind of teach those little basics just to get started.
Right.
So.
And in our case, we've built a whole community around supporting that, making that happen.
So how can people help volunteer, either donate to your site or the website is very, it's chock full of all kinds of information. You've got the blog, you've got mm-hmm. recipes.
It's content dense.
It is. And
yeah.
So just get on there. The Suppers programs
with an S.
.org. Yes.
And the natural order of things is usually that people have a need that isn't met in their lives. They come to the program, they benefit from the program, and then they want a future for the program. That's the natural order of things, yeah.
Yeah, and you've done a good job cultivating, because you said you do several hundred meals or events or a year, right?
Yeah, in any given month, there's 20 to 30 events, and that includes everything from a workshop for 30 people at the Whole Earth Center to 140 people at the larger events to an intimate lunch or dinner for 6 to 12 people in somebody's home, maybe 15 or 20 people for the meetings that run out of church kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I saw on Facebook you just recently had a facilitator retreat at the barn at Gravity Hill, which sounded like a cool thing to go to.
It is exquisitely beautiful out there.
Yeah. So is that an annual event for your facilitators, or
this is the first time we've done it? But what we have realized is that these facilitators are the engine. These are the people who really drive the change in their homes, in our kitchens, in our communities. It's the people who will say, I want to serve. This program turned my life around. You know, I used to have diabetes and now I don't. Or I used to have rheumatoid arthritis and now I'm out of pain. Whatever it is, when you find somebody who is so lit up over the experience of having a major turnaround from a chronic illness, you've got fabulous volunteers.
Right, and you've got a resource pool. Say, well, this worked for me, this didn't work for me, I tried this already, and then you're working together. You're not getting, like, you know, Blue Apron and some of those things are great if you're busy and you want something delivered to your door, but that's, you know, if you want an actual person in a community to have there as your reference, because sometimes I'm looking at something, I'm like, oh, I just need to, you know, now you can look on the internet, but it's just easy to ask someone by your, you know, standing right next to you, and am I doing this right, or what would you do here?
Yeah. Lots of mentoring.
No, it's crazy. So, and the, so we did a Room to Read cookbook for Global Literacy, and you were generous enough to give us the, I think it was the veggie garden slaw recipe, or the complete meal veggie slaw, which is amazing for our cookbook. And the, and then we did a lot of collaboration with Savory Spice, which is now closed, sadly, but they said, you've got to have Dora on your program. So are they, I know Savory Spice is a franchise, so there's still one in Westfield, but they're, and the lady on last week, they did a fundraiser because her daughter's a chef at Savory Spice in Westfield. But are you still in touch with John? He has some other, he's like a sous chef site or something now. I forget.
I told them I was mourning the loss of the store, but
yeah,
I'm not
bet.
In regular touch. But what has happened is I was so devastated at the loss of this shop that I put myself in the shoes of people whom I serve who don't know how to do this. At least I know how to do it. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I'm just going to start running spice blending workshops, sourcing the best that I can. Mm-hmm. So I asked the Whole Earth Center if I could have the space. They always say yes. And we just filled the place. We made a Burberry, an Ethiopian Burberry, and we made Ras El Hanout, which is a North African spice blend. And it's maybe 15 or 20 different spices. Most of people would recognize them sort of as the same things as garam masala plus, you know, Indian spice plus a few other things. And we actually fried the spice in the pan at the store and ground them all up. And, you know, everybody went home with a little sample. And this is what I needed to do to get past the mourning and demystify it. Because most cooks will not open 15 jars of spices if they want to just make scrambled eggs that taste like curry.
Yeah.
But if I can teach them, like, every 3 months or something how to make a blend,
yep,
then they've got it right at their fingertips.
Great. Well, we are going to take another commercial break, and then we'll be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help, and we're back with Dora Mullen, the founder of the Suppers Programs, and we've learned so much today, and I think we've got the last section of the show. We'll talk a little bit about you built this community, so how are you, who refers you to these, do you have any physicians or different people that refer your program, and how do people find out about your community?
Okay. I'd say word of mouth in some form or another is the most usual thing. We have, you know, there's a calendar, and we do little things at the Whole Earth Center, so we get people in dribs and drabs for those things, but the big thing is word of mouth, and the kind that has the most impact is when a physician refers somebody to the program. One of our doctor friends on our advisory board said, "You need a prescription pad," so she designed us a prescription pad, and we send them around to the kinds of physicians who want their patients to do the diet and behavior changes. So the people who call themselves integrative, progressive, functional, nutrition-oriented, they're all medical doctors, but they have this additional orientation. Those are the ones who tend to refer to the program. And they also understand that it's really hard for people to give up their favorite foods. If you have someone with an inflammatory condition, like most of the modern illnesses are inflammatory, the arthritis and even the type 2 diabetes, even the dementia, it's a form of brain inflammation. It's just through this very unfortunate fact of nature that the foods that are inflammatory for us also kick in with the reward cascade. And so our inflammatory foods become our favorite foods. The example is the person with celiac disease who can't imagine doing life without muffins or, you know, baked goods.
True.
So these physicians refer to us, and they specify, I want this person to try vegan, or I want this person to try paleo. They're all gluten-free, so they don't even have to specify that. And people can eat wheat at home, but we don't teach them how to cook with it at the meetings. And then through the process of, like, the gravitas that they get because their doctor referred them to the program, and the fact that we're not telling them what to do, we're offering them opportunities to do experiments, the members become the case managers of their own journey. Our slogan is how you feel is data. So we have these little exercises that we do to help people understand, well, when I'm cranky or irritable, or when I feel like I'm going to fall asleep at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I've got 2 more hours of work, or when I think I just can't live without a coffee or a Snickers bar at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, or I'm looking at my wristwatch thinking it's time for a drink, or, you know, all these things are what they are, but they're also data about your body's relationship with food, and especially the food that you ate most recently. Let me give you an example.
Perfect.
We had a woman who developed rheumatoid arthritis in her 60s, and there was a lot else going on, as there so often is with the inflammatory conditions. There was some post-traumatic stress, and there were other diagnoses, pain syndromes, and so forth. And her doctor, a couple of doctors, told her repeatedly,
go do this program, go to the SUFFERS programs. And it took her 14 months to make the journey from the stubborn, I am not giving up cheese. You know, these are my favorite foods. I am not giving up. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. Then she started doing it. But like then she'd cheat. And it was usually something to do with dairy, and she would cheat and cheat. By month 14, she was clean. She found out that she does best on something called autoimmune paleo, which is basically tons and tons of vegetables, a little bit of animal protein, everything pristinely sourced, but no grains, no sugars, none of the refined foods. She lost 39 pounds. Wow. That she had never been able to get off.
Wow.
Not because she was restricting calories. Absolutely not. She was eating a lot of food, but she had removed her inflammatory foods because mm-hmm. using our How You Feel as Data exercises, she figured out which her inflammatory foods were. She turned around the rheumatoid arthritis to the point where the doctor was able to delay giving her any medication for a year, and then it was just a minimal amount. You know, the depression went down, the energy went up. She had constant draining from her eyes and her sinuses. That was somewhat resolved when she got off of her inflammatory foods. And now, of course, who's our biggest advocate? Who do the people, the newspapers want to interview? They want to interview the woman that turned around her rheumatoid arthritis. And just as an aside, I will say one of the people who did Joel Fuhrman program, which is completely different because there's no oils or meats in that one. The first lady was eating oils and meats. Also turned around her rheumatoid arthritis, but she did it on Fuhrman's program. You know, mm-hmm. she did her experiments and she found that that's what worked for her. Are there similarities between the autoimmune paleo and the Fuhrman? Well, yes. None of them has any gluten. None of them has any sugar. Mm-hmm. So it's I can't say which is the healthiest diet. I can just say that when people come and work this program, they're the ones who are figuring out what their personal best way of eating is.
Yeah, because every body is different. Every single body is different. Mm-hmm. So you got to find something that works for you, something you can get behind, and something that gives you results. Because people always think I'm a vegetarian, and I'm like, no, I grew up in Iowa. Like I, you know, eat beef and not hordes of it, but I'm a chocoholic. I admit that, but I eat lots of vegetables. I eat salads. I eat, you know, green beans. I try to eat in season too, but I know how to prepare them. I know how to cook them. So, you just have to find out what works for you. Cause some people say they really need a little protein or else mm-hmm. they feel drained. And I think this is amazing. Well, the other one thing I want to ask is I know, cause I'm in my 50s now. And I know a lot of people just say, well, I'm in menopause or premenopause and I just have that tire around my middle and there's nothing I can do to get rid of it. What would you say?
I would say, don't ever give up. Don't listen to people who are downers for you. I mean, the energy around this is one of the biggest things. I am so totally younger now than I was 40 years ago.
You look amazing, let me just say.
In my 60s, I am doing way better than I was 30 or even 40 years ago. And it was dumping the toxic load. I had to dump a lot of heavy metals in order to get to this point. This is another whole show, but it is really lucrative to have big food, big pharma, and big medicine benefiting. It is the most lucrative when people manage but never cure their diseases. And if all of the economic incentive to the deep-pocketed corporations is to keep us sort of half sick, there's nobody to take up the cause except we ourselves. So my answer is don't ever give up.
Right. Well, it's also about personal responsibility.
Absolutely.
And yeah, to the other thing, follow the money and you'll figure out what's
going
on.
Follow the money. You'll find out what's keeping you sick.
Yeah. So, and again, since we're a show about volunteering, what do some of your volunteers do? I know the facilitators are volunteers. Do you have other people that help out in other ways if they're not ready to be a facilitator?
Yes, we have chefs who volunteer their time as mentors and teachers to the facilitators. Oh. We have a board of people who serve in their area of expertise. So the lawyer is doing the IP work, and the restaurateur is hosting our events, and the banker is helping with, you know, the financial stuff. So there's a lot of volunteerism. There's also institutional volunteerism in the whole culture of suppers, because instead of sponsorship like you would get in a 12-step program like AA, we call ours therapeutic friendship. And so the expectation is that every person at that table, every person in the kitchen is potentially there somehow in a therapeutic relationship for the newcomers, or, you know, anybody who's at the meeting. So, yeah, the volunteerism is a common thread throughout the entire program.
No, that's good to know. Like, I think it's great. And then you've got a donation option on your website, right? Mm-hmm. And you've got different events through the year. And do you always write the blog, the Purple Apron, or do other people guest blog sometimes?
So that is a shared effort with Chef Allie O'Brien. I do write most of the content. Anything to do with people's change stories.
Great.
It's me, and I get a lot of help with the food stuff. Yeah,
and that gives inspiration to others. Well, if they can do it, I can do it, right? You know.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I'm sure.
I got to tell you, parents just love articles about how to get their children to not be constipated anymore. I mean, it's just,
prune juice.
Really basic things like that are life-changing,
yeah.
Relatively easy to do. But if you have a kid that's constipated and he can't learn, he can't sit still, and he's cranky all the time,
yeah.
It's like, there's one easy thing that needs to get fixed here, and like everything else doesn't get okay unless the kid's going to the bathroom. So that's like really basic things. Like, I write about basic things.
Okay,
like,
well,
that.
That's good. Well, we're all human, right?
There you
right.
go.
Right. And I love your... another one of your mottos or mantras is processed foods affects your moods, minds, and relationships.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Amen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but and again, you can just do it gradually. You don't have to go cold turkey on all this stuff, right?
No, the model that we actually have the IP on it is nutritional harm reduction.
Ah, I love
everything it. Happens at the pace of the person who is his or her own case manager, because there's just no speeding up people's change process. You can slow people down by intervening, giving the wrong kind of support, you know, digging at people and trying to convince them what they need to do. And in the end, it's only the person who's putting the food in their own mouths that's going to take charge.
Right. Well, we're talking about personal responsibility, which is kind mm-hmm. of lacking in today's society, I would say. But it's easier to take a pill, right?
And just be like, yeah, and the culture supports the idea that's so disconnected and disempowering. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we've really enjoyed talking with you today. I've learned so much, and I would encourage people to get out there. I always like to do a book recommendation. Do you have one of your favorite? Either?
Oh, well, this very afternoon I'm pushing send on the second edition of Logical Miracles, which will be available on our website. And it's about 150 change stories. You know, what food did I eat? What path did I take? Who helped me? And how I turned around my diabetes, my rheumatoid, I got more comfortable sobriety. It's all change stories.
Great.
Inspiration.
Well, Logical Miracles?
Logical Miracles. Yep.
Perfect. So thank you, Dor. And again, it's thesuppersprograms.org. Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Her new show's been canceled, her Roseanne reruns yanked off all platforms, and Roseanne Barr's agents have dropped her after her racist tweet against former Obama advisor Valerie Jarrett yesterday. Barr's been furiously tweeting apologies since, in one blaming her use of the sleep aid Ambien for what she calls a stupid joke. But she's also slammed some fellow entertainers for failing to defend her. Though comedian Jamie Foxx had this to say of it all.
I just think we just got to get back to loving each other. Like, what? We're in America, man. What are we tripping on? It's like we're in the greatest place in the world, and we're bickering back and forth with each other, and we're always hanging something on somebody.
10 terrorist attackers killed after attempting to storm a government building in Kabul, Afghanistan. ICE is claiming responsibility for an incident which killed one police officer at the nation's Interior Ministry. And this is USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious and Hotel...
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
To gather information about the incident.
There weren't any other injuries reported to any other family members or persons that were inside the residence. We do know that investigators are speaking with them at this time, so we can try to find out the details of what happened inside.
Authorities went to the 100 block of Spur Ranch Avenue last night for a domestic incident that escalated once police arrived. Two officers were shot during an exchange of gunfire with a suspect. Lieutenant Tim Bedwell with the North Las Vegas Police Department says the officers are expected to be okay.
When I went in with...